Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Good morning, Kerry. You are on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Great. Good. Thank you.
Good. I want to ask y'all if I'm weird.
Yes.
Okay.
If you have to ask, you already know.
Yeah, I know. I have a feeling it's pretty bizarre, but I just want to get your take on it.
All right.
Okay. You know how in scary movies, there's always a chick with really big boobs running from the scary man with a knife?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And she always runs outside or falls down or runs up the stairs, and you're like, no, stupid, don't do that.
Right?
Okay. I wanted to see what I would do in the same situation. So I made my husband chase me with a knife.
Say again?
And I did all the exact same things.
No, you did not.
So you have really big boobs? Do you have really big boobs?
No, I don't.
Was this like an adult thing? Like, was this like a turn-on thing for you, or?
No, I really wanted to see how I would react if there was a killer in the house.
But the killer was your husband.
You were trying to do a scientific experiment based on horror movies?
I guess so, but he was really scary when he did it.
Are you kidding?
Now you're having second thoughts about your husband?
I know. He didn't want to do it at first, but he was standing by the knife block.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he pulled the butcher knife out and he said, okay, go.
Oh my God.
Explain to me, bring me into your living room for just a second. When you explain to him what you want done to you that night.
Yeah, he thinks I'm weird anyway.
But how do you say that to him? Like, how do you break it to him? Like, hey, I know this is going to sound a little freaky here, but I've got something I'd like to try tonight.
Well, no, we drink a lot, so we do, you know, we say all these crazy things. And we'd had a few beers, and I said, hey, chase me with a knife.
You didn't have to really explain that. I think we figured that out.
God bless you.
All right, let's just go around the room. Crash, would you consider Kerry weird?
Well, I like the fact that she drinks a lot, but I mean, chasing you with a real knife, what if he'd have caught you and started stabbing you? You want to see how you really react when knives go into you?
It's really a great combination, the drinking and the knives.
Yeah.
I know, it's not safe, and I really trust him. But
just ask you a couple of questions just so we can get some background. What do you do for a living?
I'm a nurse.
Okay. Oh, and your husband?
He's in sales.
And how long have you guys been married?
3 years.
Any kids?
No.
And other than this, do you consider yourself normal, or do you have other odd things that you think maybe we should just have as background info before we pass judgment?
Well, for Halloween, I dressed up with a black cape and a real scary mask, and I acted like a trick-or-treater. And when he came to the door, I jumped in and tried to choke him.
Where do you live? What part of town do you live in?
Yes, you're weird.
Marietta?
Yes, you're weird.
God bless you.
Melissa, is Kerry weird?
If I was in the living room with my loved one drinking beers, I can think of something I'd rather do than be chased around the house with a knife. So, yeah, you're wasting time and you're weird.
Jen Hobby?
I'm just glad her neighbors didn't see this whole thing going down because they'd be calling the cops on your weird ass.
Jeff?
Kerry, you're not weird. I love you. Call us every day.
You know what I want to continue doing here? Because we did this one time before where we had listeners call us up with the most random things and ask us if they were weird because they did these things. You remember that?
Yeah, we call it Am I Normal?
Am I Normal? I think I came in here and I asked you guys one day because I really enjoy looking in the mirror and seeing if I can watch my eyes dilate. So I try to catch them going from one eye to the other. And if you close your eyes and you open them up, you can watch your eyes dilate. You guys have never done that?
I've done that, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think it's just really fun. So I asked you guys if I was normal. And then we took a whole bunch of calls on that.
Every time I get out of the shower, I'm totally naked, I'm drying off, and I just start naked dancing.
I pretend I'm a star and I interview myself and answer my own questions.
Does anybody practice how they're going to react when they hit the lottery?
I've been married for 3 years, but I still play in my wedding dress like it's my wedding.
After I make something to eat, I pretend I'm my own food critic.
One thing that I love to do is when I hear a really good line in a television show or on a movie, I'll excuse myself and go to the bathroom and then reenact that line over and over in the mirror until I get it perfect.
I usually tie myself up and play like a damsel in distress.
Do you rescue yourself too?
Yeah.
You guys remember those?
Yes.
Here's another one I'll add to the list. If I am the first car in the intersection next to somebody else, I've got a little sportscaster guy in my voice.
Oh, no.
that's always acting out, me racing against the other guy to see who can get to the end of the intersection first.
That's like Better Off Dead. Wasn't that movie yes. where they had the Asian guys in the car and they would do Howard Cosell?
I always play that out of my head. So if you have a question, if you do something around the house and you're like, do other people do this or is it just me? Good morning, Kristen.
Hey.
Hey.
On the way to work in the morning, I act like Sophia from The Color Purple, who's Oprah.
Oprah's.
And I do the cornfield scene where she's like, you told Harpo to beat me. I do that like every morning on the way to work. It excites me. What? It makes my day so much easier.
Can you do the whole thing?
Yeah, can you do it right now for us?
Oh, my God.
Here we go.
You told Harpo to beat me. All my life I had to fight. I had to fight my daddy. I had to fight my uncles. A woman child ain't safe in the family of men. This side be over soon. Heaven laughs always. You better bash the head open and think about heaven later.
And every morning you recite that in your car?
Every morning. And my daughter does it now. She's like, that's like a ritual. We do that every morning.
How old's your daughter?
She's 5.
Is she in the car with you?
Yeah, she's asleep now. She's trying to get to school, get a little nap in.
That's great.
Yeah, I know I'm weird.
That's all right. That's embrace awesome. It. Woo. Embrace it.
That's great.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Liz, you're on the Burt Show.
Hi. I know I'm just absolutely the weirdest.
Okay.
All my magazines in my husband and my bathroom in the magazine. Next to the potty or turn face down so that there's no faces looking at me when I'm going to
potty. Are you serious?
That's great.
Oh. Yeah. That's funny.
Thanks, Liz. Ooh.
Thank you.
Bye now. Hey, Ashley.
Yes.
Hi. What makes you kind of normal or abnormal?
Well, I used to go to like little places like Eddie's Attic and little, you know, watch bands play. And I have this dream of being a singer. And I used to sing, like, really loud in the audience so that I'd hope that the people up on stage would want me to be in their band. Like, listen to that girl. She's such an incredible singer. She used to be in our band.
Have you ever seen the movie Rockstar?
Yes.
Was that your dream?
Yes, it is.
Would you specifically get seats close to the stage so they could hear you sing?
I mean, you know, at Eddie's Attic, you know, you've got the little, the tables, or sometimes they don't have the tables, and you can just kind of be up close to the front. But I just sing really loud and harmonize. And
just so you know.
Like, they just go, you, come up on stage.
Just so you know, everybody hates you.
I know, I'm
sure. Thank you. Bye-bye. Good morning, Melissa. You are on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
When I'm by myself, I have a ring on my ring finger. Mm-hmm. I'm single. And I'll take it off and I'll just start crying out like my boyfriend just broke up with me. And I'm like, I can't believe you did this to me.
Are you by yourself?
My dream is being an actor. So,
so instead of like pretending he just proposed to you, you pretend that he just broke up with you.
Yeah, but the funny thing is I'm single, so I have no boyfriend to do
that. Oh, God.
That's awesome. That's great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, Jennifer. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey. Every morning when I get up, I have to tell myself how hot I am just to make me feel good.
No way. So you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, I am hot today?
No. I talk to myself like I'm talking to someone else and I go, oh, my God, you are so hot.
Thank you. One more here. Good morning, Jim. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, I'm not feeling so weird now, but... Ooh, those last calls. Anyway, I have two boys, and when they're, like, gone with their mom, I'll go in their room, and I'll play with their toys, like, doing their toys that I had when I was a kid. And if they, you know, get in their bed with their stuffed animals, because I used to have a lot of stuffed animals when I was a kid.
That is
and
funny.
I've been caught.
Oh, you've been caught?
By who?
Oh,
yeah. By who?
By the kids.
Oh, that's funny.
Papa, what are you doing? I just fell asleep.
That could almost be a felony.
Yeah, I think half of those kids' toys aren't for kids because I find myself, when Hayden's not around, playing with some of his Blue's Clues toys also.
I find myself wishing for a boy so I could play with Legos because I love Legos.
You can buy Legos right. And play with them yourself.
No, it's okay.
Good morning, Lisa. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, I thank the Academy for everything that I do. Like if I was going to get an award or if I'm up getting food, I'd like to thank the Academy for, you know... Like the stars do.
That goes with my going up a staircase.
Right.
It doesn't matter
exactly
what staircase.
Right.
If you ever see me go up a staircase, no, in my mind, I'm thinking I'm about to get best actress.
That's funny if you're ever behind stairs with Melissa, because now you're not going to be, that's all you're going to be able to think of.
And you're like taking those stairs real gracefully so you don't trip and fall in front of everybody in the Academy.
And the last ones, because in the Oscars, when the actress is looking at the presenter, like that's when they make eye contact the last couple of stairs, so you take those a lot slower because you're almost like, hey, I'm here.
This
that's
is my
great.
Moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to savor it.
Exactly.
I don't know if we have time to do this, but maybe, well, maybe we do, but what about odd things that other people do that drive you nuts? Like, and the woman who said she just, would thank the Academy.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have a friend who will not thank you. Like, if he's thanking you for something, like, he will always thank God and the Academy out loud. Drives me freaking nuts.
That is random.
So, like, you give him some change for the vending machine or something. Hey, do you have a quarter? And you give it to him. And, you know, he's like, hey, thanks, man. I also like to thank God and the Academy.
Oof.
Every time. And oh, my God.
Yeah, it's annoying.
The Burt Show.
Beverly Mitchell goes on vacation for 2.5 weeks, and she goes to Greece, right? Pretty standard stuff. When she comes back, though, her house is occupied by another woman. Not a friend house-sitting, not a neighbor making sure everything's okay. This is a woman that she had never met before, had no idea who she was, that had basically taken over her entire home, had started ripping up the floors, had started painting the walls.
And was sleeping in her bed.
Good morning, Beverly.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, we're still in bits and pieces over here.
It's just the most bizarre story that any of us have ever really heard.
Well, you know, I keep thinking, you know, Canada Camera's going to jump out somewhere. Yeah.
Serious.
It's so true. Beverly, describe to us what happened when you came home from your vacation and got to your front door.
Well, I actually didn't make it to the front door.
Okay.
When I pulled out, there was a car in the driveway, which I didn't recognize. And then I happened to look up as I'm studying that car, and I noticed the windows of the house are open. Well, that was real bizarre, because I just went into panic mode at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of tried to get turned around. In the meantime, I'm hitting the tree a couple times. And I get out of the driveway and go around the block, and I just dial 911. I mean, this is not something you truly expect.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Well, within just minutes, you know, the service people were here. They were really good.
At this point, they think somebody's just broken into your house, right?
Right.
Okay.
However, when I was trying to get turned around, I actually thought I saw a shadow in front of one of the windows. And I let them know that. So I was quite sure someone was in the house. Well, you have to drive up to my house because I don't live right directly on the road. So they drove up, left me down at the main street, and they searched the outside. Of course, they didn't find anything. It was kind of like the SWAT team out here. It was pretty cool. But they came down, they got the key from me, and they came in the house and found a woman with her dog huddled up in the bathroom. So I think my time sitting in the trees and stuff and come up in the driveway may have just scared her and woke her up, because it appeared that she'd been in bed. She didn't have any clothes on.
Oh, my God.
So she's completely naked when the cops got to the door?
Yes.
Oh, so that really does happen. I mean, you see that on cops all the time. But
right.
All right, so they show up to the door, and then when do you get a look at the inside of your house for the first time and realize, my God, she's made all these changes to my house?
Well, it's probably about 2 hours later. By the time they, you know, allowed her to dress, bring her out, and then they brought me up to the house. They actually brought me up to where all of the officers were and, you know, asked her if she knew me and asked me if I knew her. And, of course, we didn't know each other. And then I finally got to walk into the house. And when I walked in, right from the front door, I knew, oh, okay, somebody else is doing something here. Because of what I left and sitting in different places. Once I walked into the living room, I'm like, okay, well, this used to be the carpet in my bedroom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this used to be the sofa in the bedroom.
Was it wall-to-wall carpeting?
No, because the bedroom is not quite as big as the living room.
But, like, was it when you left the house, did you have wall-to-wall carpeting in one of those rooms and she ripped it up?
Or yes.
Was it,
I had it actually in two rooms, two bedrooms.
So she ripped up two rooms worth of wall-to-wall carpeting and moved the smaller rooms.
One room into the living room. The other room, we don't know what she's done with. Because the other room, she put floor tile down.
Floor tile down in one room also.
Tacky tile.
And I understand she started, like, painting some of the walls and stuff, too, right?
She did. She actually, you know, I tried to keep my house neutral because we've been renovating the house. And it's kind of a sandstone color on the walls and white ceilings. Well, now I have sandstone ceilings and white walls.
Unbelievable.
Bizarre.
She didn't like it. So I guess she just said, oh, I don't like this. We'll just reverse it. And then maybe it'll give me a new look. Then I proceeded to walk in the kitchen. And, of course, I didn't recognize anything in the kitchen. She had basically brought in everything she owned and moved me out.
Did she make any renovations that you said, you know, maybe I'll keep this?
No.
So it was all of, like, her blender, her microwave, her
dishes, her pots and pans.
Moved everything in.
And where were yours?
Everything. We haven't discovered those yet.
You still don't know where they are?
No.
And this took place how long ago?
On October 4th.
Oh, my God.
So are you using hers?
No.
I'm just wondering.
Oh, my God.
Just wondering.
I'd be too lazy to go out and get new stuff.
Yeah, I'd be like, well, you know what? I mean, it's not my stuff, but if I wash it, it'll be fine. Okay.
Hey, yeah, okay.
Did she also, like, bring in her own pictures of family and stuff like that, too?
I mean, she had pictures galore. I bet you there is over 100 pictures in this house.
Do you know anything about her? Is she from Atlantis or, like...
She's from the Atlanta area. She probably lived about 10 miles from where I currently live.
And do you know why she did this?
We don't.
Or why she chose? Why she? How long after you left for Europe did she move into your house?
We don't know. We know it had to be after the storms moved through, because I had someone come and check on the house at that point.
After the Hurricane Ivan dumped all
right.
This? Okay.
And from what I understand, she moved her dog in, a new washer and dryer, and she was also wearing some of your clothes, too?
Of course. I had just gone on a major shopping spree right before I went to Europe, and I took a couple pieces only because once I got them home and really tried them on, I didn't like them.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, when I get back, I'll just take them back. Well, when I got back, what a surprise. What I could find, the couple pieces, she had taken the tags off and worn.
Unbelievable.
It's just
but
so
I'm
whack.
Still searching for the closet full of clothes that I did leave at home.
And say that last part again?
I'm searching for the closet full of clothes that I did leave at home.
She doesn't know where her clothes are, has no idea where her appliances are. It's the most bizarre thing. Hey, Christy.
Hi.
Good morning.
I just want to know who's paying for all of the damage to her house.
It's a great question. Who is paying for all of that, Beverly?
Well, at this point, we're going to hope the homeowner's insurance will.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough. That's going to be a long time on the phone with them trying to explain this.
All I can say is I'm sure hope you watch, you know, this, and this, and, you know, you've seen the broadcast. You know what's going on here. You know what's happened. All I can do is do a lot of praying right now.
Now, from what I understand also, she took $23,000 worth of jewelry out of your house, too?
That was on the low side. There's still more jewelry to be found. However, we did recover that amount in her car, in her purse.
So she took the jewelry out of the house, put it in her car, and parked it in the driveway?
Correct.
Crazy.
Had it kind of separated, so you know where it was going next.
And she's in jail right now, right?
Correct.
She's in jail, but she's not talking, is what we heard.
She's not talking to anyone.
What do you charge somebody with?
Well, right now, the only thing they have her on is burglary. But I'm sure sometime today or tomorrow at the latest, I've got to get back with them and give them the additional list of missing items from the house so that they can hopefully proceed. You know, maybe it'll be more. I don't know.
And you have no idea why she targeted your house or how she even knew that you were gone?
No.
I am dying to get into this woman's head. Like, I can't wait for a psychologist to talk to her and then, you know, like, turn on WSB and find out exactly what happened, you know?
Exactly.
Good morning, Catherine.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Beverly's probably still a little shook up.
The story's unbelievable. What I want to know is, I mean, renovations are not cheap. If this woman could afford to have someone come in and tear up carpet and tile floors and paint walls, why couldn't she afford to get her own apartment? Our house. How did she pay for the work that was done?
Let me kind of, she used, you know, the carpet out of one bedroom to move it around. But where she got the tile and where she got the paint, I had a water jug, your regular water cooler jug here at the house, about 3/4 of the way full of silver coins.
Mm-hmm.
That was planned to use for the next vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was at least $3,000 in there.
That'll go a little way.
She was able to buy her paint, and she was able to buy a few appliances, but, you know, I guess the most bizarre thing.
Yeah, but still, to pay a crew to come in and tile, I mean, that's not something one person can do.
Well, now you say a crew, but she says she's done all this herself.
So she is talking a little bit.
No, she's just saying, you know, she moved in by herself. She moved her sleeper sofa in by herself. She moved her washer and dryer in by herself.
There's no way.
The neighbors never said anything, never got tipped off, never thought
nothing. The only way they knew about it was the night I called 911, and they heard it on a police scanner.
Was it a good, was it like a good tile job?
Oh, my God, no.
Oh.
No. If you saw this tacky brown tile that you normally would see maybe in a school or a project or somewhere.
I'm not talking about like the quality of the tile, but like,
no, it's cut up into bits and pieces in certain areas where she had to get around the doors.
Oh, okay.
So she was working fast. If you were only gone for 2 weeks?
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. She was working fast.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I truly don't believe that she was by herself.
Right.
But with her not talking, I don't know that we'll ever get an answer as to who else might have been in my home.
You're not going to get a rational answer anyway. I mean, this is a woman that never even thought, like, in 2.5 weeks, this is all coming crashing down on me, that there is going to be an endpoint.
Did she open your mail?
Yes, she did. In fact, I went to the post office before I left and put a stock hold on it and told them I'd pick it up when I got back. Well, somehow they proceeded to deliver for a few days. And she had a stack of mail lying in the kitchen counter where she had started opening the mail.
Wow.
That's an offense as well they can get her on, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a federal offense, in fact.
Did she pay any of your bills or anything for you, at least?
Oh, my God, no. You know what else she did? My power company. She had the power turned off in my name and had it turned on in her name.
Oh, my God.
Well, you need to keep it in her name for a while and stick her with the bill for the next couple months.
Yeah, but you know, I'm the homeowner, so that's a downside.
Because
I'm just stuck with it in the long run.
If it didn't happen to you, it's probably the funniest story you ever heard in your life, right?
You're right. If someone would have told me that, I would have looked at them like they, you know, had a loose screw somewhere.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's the most bizarre thing. Hey, Christy.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey.
I wanted to ask Beverly, do you think that this lady maybe had plans to get rid of you or something when you got back?
Well,
I mean, what do you think her plans were for when you returned?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what did scare me. I had a love seat in my bedroom. It's a Queen Anne that I've had for years. And in the corner of that love seat, I had my gun. Well, they found the gun on the floor. So I'm almost afraid to think what might have happened had I knocked on that door.
Yeah, then it's a completely different story. And, yeah, not nearly as fun, that's for sure.
It really isn't.
Wow, Beverly. Well, thanks for taking the time. You said Good Morning America's over at your Douglasville house right now?
They are. Cameras, lights everywhere. My God. You know, the story is so bizarre, but I tell you what's more bizarre is that the media has taken this and it's gone worldwide.
Well, it's such a random story. Like, when you say that it's gone worldwide, what publications or what TV stations have called you?
Well, Associated Press got a hold of it.
That's where it starts,
it was gone.
Tell us how you got Clark Howard involved.
Well, I gave it a couple weeks after all of it happened, hoping that she would talk to them over at the police department and I'd get some answers. Well, my first thought was this lady trying to be a squatter? So I called Clark and I said, hey, you know, I got a bizarre story I just want to tell you.
Right.
Because Clark is great with stuff like
that.
Yeah,
he really is.
Sure.
He really is. I've listened to him since I moved to Atlanta, and I just love him to death. So I just gave it to him, and he said, oh, we got to do something with this.
Yeah, that's too good. A call comes in like that, man.
We got to get more information.
Well, I tell you what, if a call like that came into us, I wouldn't believe it was real. I'd be like, there's no way. You got to give me more details about this. We got to send somebody out to the house because this can't be real.
So
true.
Right.
Well, we're going to have him in a little after 8 this morning, so I'm sure your name will come up again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, Beverly, it's good talking to you. Enjoy your time there on Good Morning America, and thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us. The most bizarre story I think I have ever heard.
Well, me too.
We are glad you're safe, and hopefully you'll be able to get some of your possessions back and be able to get some money to replace this stuff. I mean, is there any plan for that on replacing it?
Well, not yet. Not unless, you know, the insurance company will come through.
Right.
It'll have to be replaced, but it'll be a slow process at this point.
Just strange.
So, unless I can get, you know, one of the makeover companies or somebody to come in and give me a hand here, you know.
Yeah.
But it's time to get back to get the stuff moved out of here and get back to life and try to calm down a little bit.
How's that washer and dryer? Is it good?
It looks brand new.
Oh, really? I keep that thing in there.
You going to sell it?
No, I'm not selling anything.
If I were you, I'd have like Clark call ABC for you because, I mean, he's on the ABC station here and have him do like that home makeover thing.
That's what we need, you know?
Yes.
Well, I have Clark call. She's on Good Morning America today.
Yeah, I guess you can make your own plea.
Yeah.
All right, Beverly, good luck. Thanks for hanging out with us for a couple of minutes.
You guys have a great day.
You too. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
We've said this before now, that we have gotten a ton of emails from women that are looking for help from the guys on the show, because we've been doing this segment where the women leave the studio, guys give advice to women about their men, because nobody knows your men better than other guys, right? So we've been receiving just, I mean, a stupid amount of emails from women. And there seems to be like the lowest common denominator in most of these emails. It amazes me the pain tolerance level that women have to stay in these painful and sometimes like abusive relationships. And I think I know the answer why you guys stay in it. But let me just read a couple of the emails and give you some examples of what we've received.
Okay.
One email here, and we're going to paraphrase. My boyfriend, listen to this. My boyfriend lets his ex-girlfriend spend the night and sleep in his bed. This is from the same email. He says he's an ass around me and he doesn't know why. Same email, I tell him that I don't trust him, and he tells me, well, we aren't married, and she's still in the relationship with the guy, okay? Another email, my boyfriend and I moved in together in January, but soon he quit his job, and now I support him. Not a huge deal there. But then his car died, and we bought a Navigator that I pay for, and it's in my name.
This is not the same girl?
No, this is a second email.
Okay.
The car died, and we bought a Navigator that I pay for and it's in my name, yet he won't let me drive the car. Same email, sometimes he doesn't come home at night. He finally got a job at a restaurant. I found a note from a girl in his apron. This is all the same email. I drove to his job and saw him kissing a girl by his car. He yelled at me to go home, and we would talk about it later. Then he told me later that it's my fault because I smother him by doing too much for him.
You're kidding.
Okay, and these are pretty typical of a lot of the emails that we're getting. Here's a third email for you. My boyfriend is a bartender and he flirts with female customers. I find girls' phone numbers in his apron all the time. Then I've heard he gives his phone numbers to girls at the bar. He says he's just trying to get better tips. She's staying, all these women, the other common denominator here is they're all staying in the relationship. So my question to women, 404-741-1005, is very basic. Why? Like, I don't think guys would stick it out. Some guys, but as a general rule, I think women stick it out longer than guys do in these kind of relationships.
I would agree with that, but it's the whole love is blind thing, like.
I don't think that's it.
Not necessarily that. I think that a lot of women, on the other hand, would not stay and put up with relationships like this. I think it all depends on where your level of self-esteem is. And I think if your self-esteem, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being highest, if your self-esteem level is at a 10, you're not staying in a relationship with like this. If your self-esteem level is at a 1, you may stay.
I think also the main difference between men and women is women identify themselves mostly by their relationships.
Mm, okay.
They don't identify themselves based on their job or, I mean, part of it is their job and stuff, but most women, the core way they see themselves is based on their personal relationships.
I see.
They will stay in it longer. They will try to make it work longer because to them, that's the most important thing in their life.
But if that's accurate, and they identify themselves by that, why would you want to be identified as the girl who dates the guy who lets his ex-girlfriend sleep in his bed?
Because you're dating a guy, and you're not... I mean, like, for some women, they'd rather do that than be single.
I have a theory on this also, and Lindsay shares the same thought. Lindsay?
That's exactly what I was going to say. And I think it's partially the self-esteem thing that you guys were talking about, but I think more than anything, they're just afraid of being without somebody.
I think you nailed it on the head. I think women fear being alone way more than men fear being alone.
And I think it all ties in together. I think that plus the fact that a relationship is the most important thing to a woman, so she feels like she's incomplete if she's single, plus what Jen said about insecurity, you know, I mean, I think it all ties in together. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a huge part of a woman's life is her dating status or her marriage status.
And would you also say that it's cyclical? If your mother did it, then the daughter does it, then her daughters do it, then you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because if that's the home that you grew up in and that's what you saw as the example, is either, you know, a no male figure in your life and going, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a single parent, like, you know, whatever. Or having a poor male figure in your life and repeating that same cycle, because oftentimes we look for our fathers.
How do you break that cycle then?
I don't know. I feel blessed that I haven't had that experience growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you break that cycle, but it does seem that it could be cyclical.
But added to that, it doesn't even have to be an abusive situation to grow up. When I think she made a great point about looking for your father, because I think a lot of times if you have a great dad, then no guy lives up to it. I think that was a part of my sister's problem when she was dating, is that she and my father, like, she was the apple of my father's eye, and so she wanted to find a man like my father. And to her, I mean, there's a difference. I mean, a father is something different than a husband. So, like, he's never going to live up to that. And I think a lot of women just kind of, you know, I don't know. I think that they're behind in the race to begin with if they're looking to do that.
Good morning, April. You're on the Burt Show. Hello.
Good morning, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
I guess I'm kind of in the same situation as one of your emails. I've been married for 4 years to a guy that can't seem to hold down a job, and I've been supporting us for a very long time. And it's hard, but I'm 26, and I've already been divorced and married twice, and I think I just don't want to go through it again, and I'm afraid to be alone. So I take the roles and I keep going.
Now, I said this before, that women would rather be in a relationship for the wrong reasons than be alone for the right reasons.
Absolutely. Well, here's my question back to you, Bert, though. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why do you think that is? What motivates...
It's the fear of being alone, and I can give you three examples of it. And this is just over the last 2 weeks. My friend Susie, that we've talked to on the air, the one that's going to be traveling around, she's, what, 34 years old now, and mm-hmm. she's single. And she said at one point when we were having a conversation a couple of weeks ago, the sentence came out of her mouth, "Sometimes I'm just so tired of being alone. I'm just so tired of doing things by myself. It would just be so nice to have a man there and to have somebody that I can share the things that happen in my life with on a day-to-day basis with." Okay, so that was one. And last night, I was having a conversation with one of our best friend, Carrie, who's also 34 years old, and she's single. And she said the exact same thing. She said, "I'm so scared of growing old alone. I am so tired of just doing things by myself. I just want somebody with me to share the cool things that happen to me every single day." And the third thing was, you guys weren't in this meeting yesterday, but we got an email from a woman that we're going to talk to next week that's in the very same situation. She's 34 years old, and she's just tired of being alone and wants to share her life with somebody else.
I'm 34, I'm single, and I have said the very same thing to someone, because you have to understand, women are emotionally based. So every experience in our life, whether bad or good, has such a huge emotional attachment to it. And yes, you've got your best friends to share your life with, and you've got, you know, a pack to go around with. But when you have the intimate relationship, just adds that much more to it. And so I'm right there with them. I mean, but I'm not getting into a relationship just to not be alone. But when you are alone and you're hanging out with everybody else who's in relationships mm-hmm. or married, that just adds to it. And yeah, it sucks being alone and doing this.
Let me just follow up on something you said, because you said, you know, when you're hanging out with some of your friends that have relationships, mm-hmm. sometimes, well, you're happy for them. Sometimes it still hurts. Carrie was telling me last night that one of her best friends in Washington, D.C. just had a baby. So she goes to the hospital to spend time with the family and her best friend. And she said while she was happy for her best friend, there was a little part of her that was sad also, that she's looking at her life right now. She's 34 and thinking, maybe this isn't going to happen for me.
But you also have to remember, for a woman, this has been a dream of hers since she was 6 years
right.
old. So for a woman at 34, 35, 40, whatever, to be single, there is a part of her that has been taught that she's a failure
right.
because of that.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. Yeah.
And my other question is it that a human emotion, not just a female emotion, to not want to be alone? I mean, if you, Bert, were still single at this point, and you were 37 years old and you've been doing everything single your whole life,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, just say that somehow fate happened, you never met Stacy, you never got married, and you were 37. Wouldn't you feel like you wanted to be with somebody too? Isn't it a human emotion to want to share your life with someone?
I think yes, but I also think, in getting back to what Melissa said, you guys have the failure factor. Whereas I think if a guy ends up single his whole life, he doesn't look at it like, this is what I was bred to do, is to be with somebody.
Nobody looks at a guy who's 40 and single and says, oh, that poor guy. It's like, oh, he's living the bachelor life.
Right.
But if you see a 40-year-old woman who's never been married,
we
got
to set her up with somebody. Let's get her. We got to find somebody she can go out with.
Poor thing. She's not going to have any babies if she doesn't meet anybody soon.
Good morning, Rebecca. You're on The Bert Show. Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to agree with what you guys were saying about women basing their self-worth on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is a really good example of that. She's 44 and has been married 5 times. But the common thing with all relationships is, I'm sorry?
You said she is 44?
Yes.
And is that her 5th marriage?
Yes.
Wow.
She's been married 5 times, but the common thing with all the marriages is that they've always been just really abusive and not relationships at all, but she's more depressed if she's not in a relationship than she is if she's in one that's a bad relationship. And that's just mm-hmm. because she feels like a failure if she's not with somebody, and she is constantly depressed, and I'm always going to be alone and no one loves me. And so if they've got a pulse, she'll marry him.
Better than nothing.
Is that a good example of how most women feel, do you think?
Well, because the one thing I thought too was that men, like, they're a failure if their career isn't at a certain point by a certain age. No,
right.
I don't think to a man, if he's not married by 40, he's a failure. But if he doesn't have that BMW or that Lexus by 40, he might be a failure. It's a totally different mindset.
Just a somewhat related question. How many weddings do you attend for the same person before you no longer have a gift obligation?
Rebecca.
Is that like the third one?
Well, I was actually only in this last wedding. The other weddings were kind of, one of them we found out the next day. Congratulations.
meet your new daddy.
What a pleasant surprise. All right, thanks for calling, Rebecca.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Just take a couple more calls, and then we'll move on. Good morning. You're on The Bert Show.
Hey, I could have been that last caller's mother. I was in an abusive relationship for 5.5 years, and I couldn't leave it because if I had left it, I wouldn't know what to wear when I got up. I wouldn't know what to eat. I mean, it was at the point where my boyfriend was choosing my job. He was telling me what to do, but I couldn't imagine being alone because I didn't know how to do it. And I was scared that, okay, I'm going to get out there. How am I going to know what to wear in the morning?
You let him control you that much?
It was to the point. But when he was sweet, he'd be like, I was like, wow, you're the perfect boyfriend. Because when he was sweet, he was exactly like, he was the same way my dad treats my mom, which is perfect. My parents have the perfect relationship.
What finally empowered you to bolt?
Well, my mom and my best friend, he put me pretty much, he took me on vacation, and when I came back, he would not let me see him. And it wasn't my choice, but now, it took me about 4 months. I was in depression for 4 months.
Why y'all just shaking your head?
Well, just the comment, it wasn't my choice. You have a choice in everything you do.
Yeah, but you can't come down hard on her, because when you're in an abusive relationship like that, that's very hard cycle to break out of.
Yes,
very
but I'm just hard. Telling women that you have a choice. So many women say that. You have a choice. And if it means that you have to be rude sometimes and unladylike, then you have to. But, I mean, too many women are in abusive relationships, and they have the choice.
How do you respond to that, Jen?
I just think that her situation is of physical and very severe emotional abuse that is not really what we're talking about right now. Like, I think that the situation that she just described about him controlling her every move, telling her what she could wear, where she could work, mm-hmm. where she could go, is different, a very different situation than these emails that we're talking about. Oh, look, my boyfriend gets other numbers from girls when he bartends. I think those women in the emails can get out a heck of a lot easier than what she can. Yes, it's her choice, but I just... Well, it's not easy. Well, it's not easy if you've been abused emotionally and controlled for a very long time.
I think these emails are the beginning of what she just called to describe. The thing is, you have choices from every phase of the relationship. The fact that these men and these women in these emails won't leave yet, it's only going to get worse. So in the very beginning, you have to see the signs that you have a choice and you don't have to be abused, and then you avoid what happens 5 years down the line.
But are some women like they just don't have the mentality and they just don't have the skills and they just don't have the mindset to get out?
I suppose so.
I guess you... And you don't know it until you're in it. Is that possible?
Yeah, right, but I agree
there's
that...
There's no way to test that until you're in
an abusive relationship.
Right, but I agree with Melissa that it is, they chip away at it. And you're right, 5 years down the road, you're in a relationship like hers.
Hey, Christine.
Hi.
Hi, you're on All the Hits Q100.
Hi. I was in a family like that, too, where my mom was abused a lot. And it boils down to one... All these women, it boils down to one thing, and that is that they spend too much time loving somebody else and not enough time loving themselves, because when you love yourself, everybody respects you more. And I had to go through that process.
Where do women find this ego that you're talking about? Because the love yourself first thing obviously has to come from family. Well, so what are our parents not doing?
I think it goes like I said,
my mother went through all that. You know, I got to see her getting beat up, and she didn't love herself, and she was spending too much time, you know, with the relationship. She didn't spend enough time on me either.
That's difficult, because I don't think women are trained to have an ego. Like, because I come from a family of parents that are married 50 years, but I've only seen my mother be an independent woman since she was a widow. She spent her life dedicated to my father. She moved whenever he had to move to a new job, or when he was in the military, she moved with him. She took care of the kids. She did everything for everybody else except herself until my father died and the children grew up. So I think women are taught that that nurturing part of you is emphasized, and you have to make sure that everything's okay and everybody else is okay. And then you could, you know, if you focus on yourself, then that's unladylike. And I think it's a very difficult road for women, you know, and as adults, I think that's what they are beginning to understand, that they have to learn to have an ego, and it's a difficult thing.
If you had one last comment on this, Jen, what would it be?
I think that in order to prevent this in young girls, you have to have somebody that believes in you. Somebody that tells you can do anything that you want to do in your life. And whether that's one parent, whether that's a male figure in your life, somebody that absolutely believes in you and tells you that they believe in you, I think gives you that spark of self-esteem from the very start. And I think if that's nurtured over time, you do grow women with self-esteems, you know?
But a lot of times these women have to say it for themselves, because that's a privileged position to be in. A woman can't choose to have someone tell her that. A lot of times a woman has to be the hero she's looking in someone else.
I think all women should just act more like guys and be happy sitting on the couch and not talking about anything or analyzing everything. Just hang out. Then the world would be great.
Yeah, can't y'all just change today? Today.
Sure.
Make the change, be more like guys.
Again, we'll do it so that you can establish and stay yourself.
Thanks for accommodating.
Hallelujah.
We appreciate it.
Hallelujah.
The Burt Show.